Hello, everybody. My name is Simon Miller, and welcome to only the second episode of Why with Simon Miller. Thank you very much for supporting the first one. It did really well. And I think, you know, when you launch anything and it does well, you can give yourself a pat on the back and think to yourself, well, wasn't that a lovely idea? And it certainly was. We talked about Avengers. Oh, my gosh, other computers on. That was terrifying, wasn't it? I usually turn that off. There you go. That's why it's fun doing it on on the old internet. My word, that scared the absolute crap out of me. Here's a little bit of a secret for you. I'm a massive wuss, an absolute massive wuss. Like, everything scares me, everything. Video games, I just noticed how big the Y thing is in the background. It's not meant to be that big. Can I change this on the fly? Is that a thing that we can do? Let's not risk it. Meh, this one will be massive. You get a massive picture of my head and Y everywhere. Yeah, I'm a massive wuss. I'm a massive scaredy cat. Like, any kind of movie or any kind of game that's meant to freak me out, I get freaked out. I got scared by Call of Duty 2. I walked up one of those staircases when you're kind of cleaning out houses in Holland or wherever you were, and a soldier popped out of nowhere, and I jumped out of my seat. I had to stop playing it for a while. It probably all comes down to my mother. This is a story for you that you only get for listening to Why with Simon Miller. I used to, obviously, you know, when you're a kid and you have to leave the toilet door open because if you don't, something bad could happen and your parents have got to come save you. Don't forget as well, when you're a kid, sometimes you have to scream, ready, and your parents would come and wipe your ass. So anyone that's ever got a bit of an ego on them or you don't like because you think they're arrogant, never forget they had their parents wiping their ass or some kind of adult wiping their ass. And they had to sit there like I'm sitting here right now and go, ready. Life is so weird. But yeah, when I was going for like a wee and stuff, and the door was open for my parents, one time, my mum thought it'd be well funny to slowly open the door and give me a shock from behind, like jump me, and gave me a shiver. And literally, that I must have been super young. I can't even remember. I was well young, enough to leave an impression. I basically used to move myself around to the side of the bowl, even when the door was locked. I'm talking when I'm like 18 years old. I would wee from the side of the bowl because I was terrified about somebody coming through the door and making me jump. Think of that. That's how much parents can scar you as well. That's a true story. And then eventually I got over it like we do with all these things. But that goes to show, maybe that's where my nervous disposition comes from when it comes to stuff like games and movies. PT is the scariest thing, I think. I think if you said, Simon, what's the scariest thing you've ever been involved in? I think PT would be at the top. And hilariously, there's a video out there that you can watch of me playing it. Kojima watched that video too. Think of that, Hideo Kojima, the man that made Metal Gear Solid and made PT, has watched me sat in a darkened room with a hood up, getting well scared at his video game. I guess he would have been well happy, right? He would have been well happy because, you know, that's what he wanted. That's why he put it out there. Also, the reason I'm kind of glad Silent Hills never got made, because I think my misogynist sort of, you know, that thing you've got deep down inside you where you're like, I don't want to play this, but I feel like I have to, especially because live streaming is a thing. So, you know, that was the thing that happened. How old was PT? 5 years old, right? Where the hell did that go? 5 years ago. PT was 5 years, and we never even heard a sniff of that again. I mean, really, Capcom took it up. We're talking video games now. But Capcom took it out and made Resident Evil. So, anyway, let's get to the actual thing. Obviously, we're doing this live on YouTube. Make sure you throw some questions, some comments into the chat, and we'll answer them as and when we get to, and it makes sense. But yeah, today I wanted to talk about how I got into hip-hop. Again, these Why with Simon Miller is always going to be a ramble about something. We'll have a central core of what we want to talk about, and as you've just seen, we'll go off on our own little tangents, because why the hell not? But it's a weird thing. Like, I've been a metal guy pretty much essentially all my life. Like, when I was a kid, I would listen to R&B and pop, because that's what everybody in school was listening to. You know, that's kind of what it felt like you should be listening to. And I never really understood music at that point. Music was really weird to me. I was like, okay, well, it's fine. There were a few bands that sort of made it through. Like Drew Hill. I always thought Drew Hill were pretty good. No idea why. Cisco obviously went on to make that Thong song. But they were all listening to sort of house and garage music and R&B. And I was like, okay, it's okay, but it doesn't really do much to me. The odd pop song would get through, because pop is pop. Like, obviously, the Michael Jackson and whoever else was. Elton John, I guess. Whoever was smashing tunes back then. But it wasn't really until I was in a car with my mate Luke. He was a bit older than me, so he could drive. I was around about, well, I was 16. He was 18. And Metallica S&M's came on, their album. I can't remember which song it was. But honestly, within about a few seconds, I'd realised this. I understand this. This makes sense to me. And it G'd me up to such a degree that I did. Within a week, I'd gone out and I'd bought all their albums. I didn't have much money then. I was like on pocket money. I bought all their albums and I'd gotten into them. And I'd started to learn about metal music. And that was it. It spoke to me on such a level. And it got me so pumped and it got me so hyped. And again, it allowed me to understand what everybody else had been talking about when it came to music. That it really did me, in many ways, it sounds cheesy as anything, it kind of did change my life. Because I couldn't believe going from obviously like, you know, 0 to 100 so quickly. I was like, this is great. This is absolutely fantastic. And from there, it just developed. And I got into bands like, obviously, all the ones you'd expect, Iron Maiden and Diamond Head and Megadeth and Motorhead. And there's some new bands like Symphony X, System of a Down, Machine Head. You know, all the bands you'd expect. There's no, you know, I'm sure I have some bands that you've never heard of, but it's not the point of this chat. And then, you know, every now and then a hip-hop or a track would come on, and I would get it. But they were mostly the ones that cut through. I think we talked about it last week, like Gangsta's Paradise I really liked, or Forgot About Dre, or Still DRE. Or any of those songs that I don't like calling them commercial songs because they're only commercial songs, so they found an audience. You know, I think, you know, Dre and Snoop and Eminem were still doing their own thing. They just managed to cut through. But I never really deep dived into the genre at all, mostly because I just didn't feel like I had a need to. It was like, you know, rock and metal was giving me all that I needed. So I was like, well, I'm not going to, you know, if I've got enough water, I don't want to fill up the glass again. I'm like, well, I've got enough. So that's, you know, that's what I did. And then it's such a strange situation because even guys like Jay-Z, I knew who Jay-Z was. And I knew that he was smashing it. But if someone said, Simon, sing a Jay-Z song or name a Jay-Z song, I don't know. I heard some Tupac because Tupac was obviously massive. Biggie, Notorious B.I.G. Not as much, again. But he had entered my sort of realm of knowledge or my sphere of knowledge, whatever you want to call it. But I never had the impetus to go and listen to any more. Not for any other reason, just simply because it was metal that spoke to me. Metallica would release a new album, or there'd be a new band I had to check out. Like, I mean, I don't necessarily call Old Bridge metal, but I really got into them for a while. So it was giving me new music, and it was ticking that box that I think you need. Anyone that's into music wants to just have that continually run of new bands that makes you feel alive. And that's the way I like music. Any music I like the most is the stuff that makes me feel alive. It grounds me in that moment. And, it, you know, when it really, really gets you, it's like, well, nothing, I'm immortal right now, I'm invincible. That's why I like listening to heavy, loud music in the gym, because you're lifting loads of weights and you feel really jacked, and you're like, oh, I don't care. So, because I didn't have that thirst and that need for it, I never went after it until, of course, I'm sure some people in this chat will know, me and a friend of mine, John Denton, started the channel Rock Reacts. And we only did that because we were enjoying what other people were doing with the metal genre. They were hip-hop heads, and they were trying to dip their toe into rock and metal and who knows what else. And it was fascinating seeing them react to songs that we already knew. I remember when, I think it must have been Lost in Vegas did one. I was so intrigued when they got to the breakdown, you know, darkness imprisoned in me, all that I see. I just wanted to see how they were, you know, what their response would be. Were they going to like it? Do they not like it? Does it affect me in the same way as it affects them? I don't know why that's so intriguing, but there is something intriguing about it. There's no two ways. Obviously, the risk of doing that is that you always get internet assholes who will come after you. Like I was going through the Rock Reacts comments earlier because I thought, why the hell not? And we did a Madonna track, the latest one she did, Melanine, whatever the hell it's called. I can't even remember now. And I think that song is rubbish, to be honest. But if you love it, good for you. Everyone's got a different ear. That's the crazy thing about music and why people love it. So you can't explain why you like the things you do and yet somebody else can have a completely different opinion. Some people go, I don't really like music. And you're like, well, you're a serial killer. So but yeah, and anyway, I was going through the, I should have got a list of them, really. Some of the people are so mad that you don't like a Madonna song. And you're like, bro, you know, I don't, A, you know, you can still like it. And B, you know how sort of sensitive you must be to be reacting in this way. Like, what are you upset about? A, why the hell are you watching? The video was called We Made a Terrible Mistake. I think some people are just, they go out of their way to, much like me in Scary Games, they go out there to try and get a kicking. But yeah, I was almost surprised by that. But anyway, I wanted to dip my toe into it, and I wanted to see what was going to happen. Again, mostly because I like the format. And we started this channel, and now here we sit, what, 13, 14 months, maybe even 15, I can't, yeah, 15, 12, whatever, it doesn't matter, irrelevant, just chatting numbers now, 47. And my knowledge of it is still basic, and I would still call myself a novice. But I'm so much more into it than I ever thought I could be. And it was kind of when I was thinking about stuff I wanted to talk about today, I was like, I don't even know why that is. And again, it ties into why music is so powerful and so, you know, works on almost like a visceral and organic level. But, you know, does it affect me in the same way that rock and metal does? Well, I guess so, because I enjoy it like that. But I think the real thing that I found so fascinating by it was I guess what I'm saying is it taught me about how I enjoy aggression. I always thought it was the aggression in metal, but now I've kind of come to the understanding, I think it's just the aggression in any kind of genre. Because I was kind of always into orchestral stuff too, like or classical stuff. When you get a really angry and over the top and sort of big doomy orchestral track, it gets you in the same way. It makes you feel that way I just described when you're in the gym. You kind of get your shoulders up and you're like, oh man, what's going to go on here? And, you know, hip-hop does that as well, which is why I mean, Eminem is the guy that really... I mean, I knew I was going to like Eminem, but the more I've heard about him, the more I'm like, he's just the man as far as I'm concerned. I always like the beats. I wouldn't say I always like his lyrical content, but his lyrical content always gets a reaction out of me. And I think as that's what he's aiming for, that it's important. And he's always quite aggressive with the way that he comes at it. And he always puts on a production. I mean, the thing about metal is, my favorite metal are sort of the 7-8 minutes adventures that you go on. And you start in some place, and by the end of it, you're somewhere else entirely. Hence why I like prog metal too. Symphony X, one of my favorite bands ever. Eminem kind of does that. By the end, you feel exhausted. You feel like you've been on some kind of a ride. And for whatever reason, that stands out to me. But it goes further than that, because Joyner Lucas probably introduced me to, like, trap hip-hop, whatever you want to call it. It's probably not the right terms. My terms are still rubbish, as you know, if you watch Rock Reacts. But, again, when he raps, right, he almost sounds like the triplets of a guitar. And triplets of guitar, literally that thing we just talked about with one, the brrrum, 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 brrrum. That's what he sounds like when he's rapping. And it comes at you hard and fast, and you don't hear everything that he's saying, but you try and pick on bars, and you go back. It's just, it's just... It gets me in the same way, and it gets me excited. And obviously, I struggle more if the beat isn't as good. It's got to have a good beat for me, just because I guess musically that's what I'm listening to. But even if it hasn't, like we take Kendrick Lamar. I understand the genius of Kendrick Lamar now, but I wouldn't put him up there as one of my top guys because I'm still not at that place where I can decipher everything that he's saying in the way that I would want to as I'm listening to it. I can go afterwards and I can do some kind of deep dive on his lyrics and figure it all out, but that's not the same as being in the moment. I don't feel I'm ever in the moment with Kendrick Lamar because I guess he's on another level to where I'm at. I need to work my way. Kendrick Lamar is like my end of level boss, and when I get there, I'll be well pleased that I defeated him, but at the moment, I'm still making my way through level two. And that's what I say. I was looking at my, you know, my playlist earlier, and I was like, it's Joyner Lucas, it's Eminem. In fact, let's just do it now, because otherwise I'll forget somebody and hope that nothing comes out of my phone, plays out of my phone like it sometimes does. Thing is, it's just going to be metal, yeah. I want to talk about that, which we'll do too. Oh, I can't find them now. I should have got my hip-hop playlist. Well, I guess another one to talk about is probably 6ix9ine. Now, I know 6ix9ine as a human being is questionable at best. But the first time I heard Cooter or Billy, again, it's all about delivery. A good friend of mine, in fact, the bassist in my band, MG and the Juggernaut, Rich Weber, he's a great producer too. And when we're doing vocals and stuff, he's always like, well, you've got whatever you say and whatever you do and the way you perform it, you've got to mean it. Because if we've got all these heavy guitars and heavy bass and heavy drums, and then a vocal comes in that doesn't sound like it matches up, nobody is going to believe the song. And that's 100% true. And I think that's what someone like 6ix9ine does. I was trying to think the right way to put that. And it's the same with someone like XXX, right? Or X, as we'll call him for the purposes of Tenacion. I still can't pronounce his name. Who obviously, unfortunately, passed away. But he had some controversy in his personal life too. But when you go back and you hear the influences he had from rock, metal, and the way that he then transitions that into his own genre, which was hip-hop, rap, whatever you want to call it, mumble rap, whatever the hell. Again, because it all marries up into one, you can't help but be a little bit like, yeah, man. This is working for me in the same way that anything else would. And that's when, again, we're getting into a well ridiculous conversation now, but that's when the idea of, you know, genres almost becomes irrelevant to a certain extent, because you're like, well, who cares about what's what if it all makes you feel the same way? And there are people out there that will talk about, oh well, this is sludge metal, so on and so forth, but it doesn't matter. Like, music is music, and the person that I was going to talk about when I looked down at my phone just then was Billie Eilish. I'm amazed that I like Billie Eilish. Billie Eilish is a 17-year-old who some people claim is an industry plant. You know, she's been plucked out of nowhere and been told by music producers and executives, you need to sound like this. I say bullshit to that. I think that she is... She's a really interesting, quirky, different, and I was original. Like, she sounds like Billie Eilish. She doesn't sound like anybody else. And I don't necessarily think I would have been so open. I would have been open. I'm quite an open-minded guy. But I think that my ability to be able to understand it with hip-hop has now made me even more open to anything else. So I think I'll listen to Billie Eilish. If she smashes something else that I'd like and I can, you know, marry it up with all these other emotions I feel when it comes to music, then hell yeah, I'll jump right in. Another guy we should mention is J. Cole. Done a couple of reactions of his on the channel. Going to do more this week or next week whenever we get round to it. But, you know, J. Cole, again, I don't always like his tracks musically. Again, you know, not, I'm not going to say 100% of the beats that he's dropped, I'm well fan of. But to me, the stuff that J. Cole raps about is kind of like the stuff that I do. I'm not saying that we're in the same league or anything like that. But, you know, if you've been a long-time supporter of my YouTube channel, again, youtube.com/TheMiddleReportRules, or search for Simon Miller, if you're listening to this on audio right now, I've always tried to do vloggy stuff and send out a positive message and talk about my own frailties and my own ailments and how that's okay and how we should all be looking to better ourselves and so all that bullshit nonsense that, you know, winds people up when they don't want to hear it. And J. Cole seems to do that in every song. And to hear a guy use his platform and, you know, use his talent to send good vibes back into the world, which is going to have a massive impression on kids that are growing up, I think that's massive. I think that's absolutely massive. And I think that is such a wonderful thing to do that, again, it endears me to him as an artist. And when it endears me to him as an artist, it then endears myself to the genre a bit more, because that's how it works. They're all tied in. There's a connection there. And then people come along like R. Kelly that then sever that a little bit. But, you know, positivity is so much stronger than negativity that I think it's okay. But that's really how, that's what happened. And if you go back to these original Rock Reacts videos, I don't understand hip-hop. I was just kind of floating away, and I needed people like 6ix9ine as my gateway drug. You know, I don't listen to that much 6ix9ine anymore because I think it served its purpose. And now, again, I want to move on to the more complex and the people that are deemed the best. Jay-Z, someone I still got to smash. I kind of have a much bigger respect for Kanye West than I ever did. I know he's crazy too in many regards, and he says things that are definitely controversial. But in terms of his music, I absolutely see the influences he's had. And his production, you know, skills are ridiculous. You know, and songs like, what is it, St. Pablo and Runaway. Oh, man, they're like, you know, they're staples of stuff that I'm listening to all the time when they don't get old, because they've got depth and they've got worth. And they always did. I was just never able to tap into that before. But again, going through like people like 6ix9ine, amazingly, as crazy as that may sound, because I don't think I'm 6ix9ine's target audience by any stretch of the imagination, allowed me to appreciate the genre on a whole other level. And I think that's cool. And I think that's a great way to try and evolve as a human being as you do get older. Because really what you want to do, as your generation moves up, you always want to make sure you've got a foot in the one below. Otherwise, you lose touch. And it's all great to lose touch. There's nothing wrong with losing touch. If you want to lose touch, go ahead and lose touch. No one's trying to keep you in there by any stretch of the imagination. But I just, what I really, really hate is when you see, like, I think it was the Reading or Leeds festivals announcement went up. And I saw a bunch of sort of metalheads, which I know, because obviously that's always been my wheelhouse. So there's always going to be some people I know that are predominantly into that genre. And they were like, oh, Reading and Leeds are crap this year. Don't know any of the artists. Like, they're so ignorant, dude. These people haven't been put on the card for fun. They've been put on the card because people like them and they want to see them. They're draws, using a wrestling term. And I never wanted to be that way. And I don't think I am that way. Well, I'm not, because I'm doing this podcast right now and I have a whole channel dedicated to it. But it just blew my mind. It's just crazy. And I'm not going to lose touch. I've always lost touch in many ways. The fact that I kind of haven't heard some of these amazing songs, like I've never heard the Drake song. I can't even remember the name, but the big Drake song, because I do sometimes live in a bubble world. Not in a bad way, but I knew. I'm trying to be a lot more better with it. I knew what my passions were, and I was cool with it. Again, going back to the water analogy, my glass was filled up. So I'm like, sweet, I'm going to stick to the water. And now I don't want to stick to the water. I want to fill my glass up. I want to have more. Like Kanye West, I can't wait to do a whole album reaction to him, because I always think an album is better when you go from start to finish. There's just something fascinating about it. It's like reading a book. You get a much better story. And it's just opened my eyes, and it opened up ears, and it's given me so much more music to listen to. Like Denzel Curry dropped a track yesterday, got excited about that. Love the Eminem Logic track from last week. Joyner Lucas came out and, you know, managed to ruffle some feathers, as he's wont to do after kind of a little bit away. And even Eminem as well, when he came back with his album after the one that nobody liked. It is fascinating. And I guess you could argue that the genre does feel cooler than metal, but mostly because a lot of the popular acts are within it. But it's still cool being involved, even as a fan, and even watching it from afar. And, you know, when pop culture goes, it's nice to have an understanding of pop culture. And now I'm in. Now I'm not going to stop listening to it. I'm going to keep listening to it. I'm going to keep educating myself better and being honest. Like we talked about Kendrick, you know, I'm just going to pretend I love Kendrick because you're meant to love him. I can see why he's, you know, considered one of the best. But I ain't there yet. And hopefully I'll get there eventually. But it's still brilliant. Like, it's still excellent. And, I mean, no one's ever going to top Metallica. We may as well talk about that because I know a lot of people listening will want to hear about that. Like, Metallica is, I mean, it sounds so cheesy, but much like Batman, we talked about the Batman films on a vlog a while ago. And I said those films, Batman Begins, The Dark Knight, and The Dark Knight Rises, they transcend movies to me. So when people say, what is your favorite movie? I never say those because they're above that. They're above it. That's how much I love them. That's how much they mean to me and how much they shape me as a person. It was the same with Metallica. I can't convey to you the shift that happened to me when I first heard Metallica. I couldn't believe it. And the interesting thing is, I went out and bought all their albums, and I listened to the Black Album first because, you know, through the grapevine, everybody was like, oh, that's the one. That's the one that you'll get you. I remember listening to that and being like, I don't understand this at all. This feels like a real slog. I can't get into it. It's confusing. But I knew there was something in it, you know, or something worth exploring. And I'm well young here, let's not forget. I'm 16 years old. I'm a moron. I'm an idiot. But I knew there was something worth exploring because I stuck with it. And that was all from the vibes that I picked up when I listened to S&M. I remember hearing Sad But True for the first time. I was like, what is this? It just sounds like I'm stuck in mud. Now I listen to Sad But True, still one of the best songs ever. But I'm like, not heavy enough, man. Give me more of that stuck in the mud feeling. And I'm listening to bands like Discarnate, spelled D-Y-S. Let me get up. D-Y-S-C-A-R-N-A-T-E. That's some good metal right there. Just dude shouting over guitars. But that, yeah, and it's. I mean, people say to me, Miller, what's your favorite Metallica song? It doesn't exist. You know, one day it could be Creeping Death, then it could be One, then it could be King Nothing, then it could be Seek and Destroy, then it could be Dies Eve. You know, it goes all over the place. Hey, man, I like, what's it called? The Outlaw Torn, I love that. There's one track off Reload that I really like that nobody likes. Waste My Hate, or is that on Load? I can't remember. But I love that song. No one talks about that song. I didn't think Metallica, I have played it live a couple of times. I think I was at the gig where they played Dies Eve live for the first time. Oh, man. What an experience that was. Shout out to Rami Mwamba in the super chat. Always appreciate the super chat, of course. If you can support through that, I'll always make sure I read out your comment. It's only fair. Following you on Rock Reacts from the beginning and it inspired me to start a podcast in similar vein. I'm being open to rock, indie, and indie rock and psychedelic. I love it, Rami. I love that. And let's not pretend that's not how this works. Like I say, John and I got inspired by, you know, UUU and Lost in Vegas and, you know, No Life Shack and whoever else was doing it. I can't remember now. It was so long ago. And it's awesome. It's awesome that people have jumped on the bandwagon. And there was kind of a disparaging nature of reaction videos. I'm like, yeah, well, they're fun. You don't have to listen to them. Ibanai says, Jump in the Fire. See, Jump in the Fire, that's a good track. I mean, there's loads. I mean, someone put a gun to my head and said, I'm going to pull this trigger unless you give me one Metallica track. I'd probably say One. I'll never be able to explain unless you're in that boat as well. I understand that. You know, that middle section, the one that I brought up three times now. Oh, my word. That has never got old. At no point have I ever heard that thing and thought, oh, that's rubbish. Never. And that's why Metallica for me are the best. There's so many times when I've gone back to something like Master Puppets, which I must have heard well over 1,000 times, if not more, both live and bootleg versions and the original studios and so on and so forth. And it feels like I've never heard it before in my life. I'm like, that's incredible. What a way to somehow feel fresh, you know, 20 years on, not 20 years, 15 years on since I first heard it. It's amazing. It's an amazing feeling. And I know that a lot of other people feel that way because you see the Metallica fan club and you see the kind of reaction they get, hence why they're all in their mid-50s and they're still doing world tours. They're just starting a new one right now through Europe. Matthew Bailey in the super chat smashed my desk there. Sorry about that. Did you have any preconceived notions of hip-hop? Not really, no. Only that I potentially wouldn't like it if I listened to it just because I didn't think it was my type of music because I didn't understand it. That's why I hadn't. I was never closed-minded. I would never go, oh, hip-hop shit, or, you know, why so-and-so. I've never been like that with anything. We're going to talk about something along the similar veins in a minute. But no way. It was just, again, I was just listening to metal, and that was enough. And hip-hop was doing its thing, and I was like, okay, and I'd hear the occasional track, but you forget that, again, I just mentioned Metallica when I first heard Sad But True. It's the same with hip-hop. You got to give it time. You got to jump through and get to the other side before it all starts to make sense. And I knew I was going to like Dre and Snoop and Eminem because I'd heard all their big hits, and I thought, this is cool. And I don't think I've ever heard a bad Eminem song, even Infinite, which is off, you know, back in the mid-90s before he was signed to Dre. That's still brilliant. I didn't like it when I first heard it, but by the end, I was actually quite, you know, I thought, oh, no, it's really good. It's really, really good. And now that's it. I'm in. I just want more. Can't wait to hear. Got Logic new album on Friday. Going to check that out. Joyner Lucas got new stuff coming on. Anything Eminem does, I'm going to jump on that. You know, all this cool stuff. J. Cole's got his big compilation album coming out, whatever the hell that was. So, you know, it's crazy to think that just over a year ago, and you had said any of these names to me, I'd have looked at you like you would, you know, you'd just slap my mum in the face and be like, what are you doing? But now, it's just part and parcel of my day today. And that goes to show how cool music is and why you should never just poo-poo anything. Even if people are listening to, I don't know, that Baby Shark song, and they love the Baby Shark song, they think it's the best thing in the world. It's like, okay, cool, man. Cool. Just like, let people like things. That's something else. I wanted to talk about the internet today anyway. It seems to be getting worse, this kind of rise in negativity, but I don't understand why you can't let people like things. Like, I was listening to a radio show the other day, which I won't drop because that's not the point of this, and the guy was all like, oh, Game of Thrones is rubbish, and the Avengers is rubbish, all these grown people watching fantastical movies, and I was like, what does it matter to you? And I get it, his show is done to try and wind people up, but even then, you're still, like we just said, you're still throwing negativity into the world. And I'm like, do we need to do this? Do we need to throw negativity into the world? Is that helping anybody? Because really, everyone's struggling to a certain degree, right? Everyone's looking for a way to put a smile on their face to be happy. And if going watching a dude dressed up as an Iron Man is going to make you happy, or you're going to watch a dragon eat somebody else, you're like, all right, cool. It doesn't affect my life whatsoever. And yet some people are so vitriolic and so mad at the world, and I guess so unhappy in their own existence, they go out of their way to try and tear other people down, and now they can. Because they got the media, like social media, being like, what are you doing? What are you doing? You should just lock these people up and then see how they like it. Put them in jail. And be like, now you're in jail, you idiot. Not just internet jail, I mean like real jail. And then we can see how they cope in there. And imagine that when you get locked in real jail, all that happens is everything you like, there's a dude on the outside and just shouts, so that's crap. So say you're well into Liverpool Football Club. Right, and you're well happy they're in the Champions League final, but because you're in internet jail, what happens is there's a guy outside, and he's all like, "Liverpool Football Club are crap." And you're like, "No, mate, they did this in like 1999." You're like, "Nah, mate," and it just wears you down. And then when you come out, you feel rehabilitated because like, ah, damn it, I should have known. It is Liverpool versus Tottenham in the Champions League final too. I don't know who listening to this is into soccer/football, but that is pretty crazy, given that Liverpool were 4-0 down. 3-0 down against Barcelona and came back to win 4-3. And Tottenham were going to go out until like the 98th minute or whatever it was. It's like, how did that happen? That was crazy. I do like a good comeback though, although just not in those two teams. I don't support them. That's a weird thing too, isn't it? You've got to support English teams in Europe. Is that the same around the world? That is definitely a thing in England. If two English clubs get into a European league, you've got to support them. Why do I? You wouldn't do that with anything else. In no other walk of life would you support someone that for 364 days of the rest of the year, you're told you're meant to despise. Now, when it comes to sport, I don't get that anyway. I treat sport like I treat wrestling. I think you should just enjoy it for what it is. You know, I want to shout out Andrew McCulloch in the chat, who has smashed it. I'm not going to say why. You're 100% correct. Well done. You get a prize. And the prize is me saying that you won. But yeah, it's just does that happen around the world? People let me know. Like in America, well, I guess it's kind of different in America. Is it? No. Well, I don't know. Maybe it is because I don't know what. In the NFL, for example, I don't think you have any tournament where you're playing European or other teams that aren't American. But you don't have to do that. And the other thing is, if you want to support Manchester United, but you're from Bristol, just support Manchester United. Like that's what I was saying. Wrestling and sport go hand in hand to me. Just enjoy it for what it is. Just enjoy it. And that's as far as it goes. You don't have to get super mad. You're supposed to be enjoying that stuff. And yeah, it sucks if your team loses. But when you have proper hate for another team, well, no, I look at it both ways. If you have proper hate for another team, that's crazy. But if all of a sudden you're meant to like a team, just that's crazy too. It's all crazy. Sport's just crazy in general. I tell you what else is crazy. Over here in the UK, We're talking about radio presenters. There's a presenter called Danny Baker, long, long time presenter. I remember him when I was a kid. So he's been doing the radio game for a long time. He was a presenter on BBC, and he tweeted out a tweet in the last 24 hours. Obviously, the Harry and Meghan gave birth to, was it Archie, the kid's been called now? Not going to lie, not a big royalist dude. Not getting anything against them, but you know, some people are well into the royal family. Like, they're well into them. They're like, oh man, I love the royal family. Okay, that's great. I don't really care. And yet he tweeted out a picture of a posh couple walking out of a theatre or somewhere, and they're holding hands with a monkey or some form of primate. And he wrote, "Here come the new royal couple." I couldn't believe it. Now, I've watched, you know, obviously the racist connotations there are through the roof. Absolutely through the roof and absolutely crazy. And I've watched an interview with Danny Baker, and unless he's a very good actor, I genuinely think this is ignorance on his part. I don't think he meant anything by it. I could be wrong. I watched an interview and that was my gut feeling. However, to have that kind of ignorance beforehand and not see what that's going to look like blows my brain. Absolutely blows my brain. I can't believe anybody would do that and not realize what they were putting out in the world. And I know there's a whole contingent of people go, oh, snowflakes and sensitivity. Okay, some people are sensitive. You should try and respect that. There's nothing wrong with that. It's not a funny joke anyway to begin with. But also, you have to realize that while free speech is absolutely a thing, free speech still has consequences. It's just nuts. If I had that thought, I wouldn't have that thought. I wouldn't even get there. I wouldn't even get there to begin with. But I would also know, if I did have that thought, you don't do this because look what it looks like. I just blew my brain. Like all this Lars Sullivan stuff. I don't want to talk much about wrestling on here because that's not the point. It's a wrestling podcast. You can check it out. But Lars Sullivan, there's plenty of evidence out there to suggest that Lars Sullivan, you know, made a lot of disparaging remarks. Bigotry, racism, sexism, misogyny, you name it. On a bunch of forum threads and social media and whatever. Now, it's also said that he's apologized for it. But it's just too much hate in the world. That's my point. I'm sounding a bit like an idiot now, but it's absolutely true. And I think the real key, because so many people now are saying, oh, Lars Sullivan should be fired and this and that. And actually, we talk about this on the wrestling podcast that will go live tomorrow. But I think it's more important to start educating. We've got to start educating people. Because it's all well and good firing someone and letting them, you know, be out on the streets and stuff. But I think it's more important to make sure that we talk to people and be like, man, you know what you're doing here? You need to stop doing this. You need to snap out of it. Like, what you're doing is 100% wrong, and it shouldn't be going down. And it's just no good on any level whatsoever. But you see it all the time, and it's just, I don't know. Maybe I'm a bit naive to it. Maybe I shouldn't be that surprised. But I am. I am surprised. And I think it would be better if it didn't happen. There's a line for you. It would be better if it didn't happen. And that's because it 100%... would be better if it didn't happen. But yeah, that's the big story over here in the UK today. He got fired as well, Danny Baker, from the BBC. Again, it's not hard to understand why. I don't really think like they had a choice. But it will now be a debate on TV for at least the next week or so. And I think it would be better if that kind of effort, again, went to educating and to the rehab process or whatever you want to call it. But what do you do? What do you do? I wanted to talk about it just because it was everywhere. And it just... Twitter in general is a crazy place. Like, to not have any kind of barrier and where you can say whatever the hell you want and to be anonymous when you do it, should you so wish. That's a crazy system to put in place. Shout out to Matthew Bailey in the super chat. How is racism in Europe different than in America? You don't have to talk too much about it. I'm just curious because I've never been to Europe. Well, I won't be able to comment on it directly because, you know, I'd have to sort of experience both ends of the coin. But from what I do know, it seems like it's, I don't want to use the word worse, because racism is bad regardless. Even you have one racist incident, like the racism in football, we talked about football, racism in football right now seems to be worse than it ever has been, although realistically it's probably just because there are more forms to call it out that we hear more about it, which is even worse because it means that there was a time when it was still going on but we weren't talking about it enough. And thankfully there's a bunch of football players now like Raheem Sterling and Danny Rose They play for Tottenham and Manchester City, respectively. If you don't know who are talking out about this, and hopefully together, as a, you know, as a race, we can kick it out. Which is also the name of the anti-racism group over here in England. It seems to be more intense in America, but I don't. That's not fair though, because if you are in Europe and you've been racially abused, it's just as intense. It's just as intense for you. But I mean, again, this is me talking very, 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 very. What's the word I'm looking for? I don't want to say uneducated, because I'm not uneducated, but shallow. Not shallow, not right. Not as deep as I should be. But for example, getting pulled over in a car just because you're black seems to be more prominent in America than it is over here. In the UK, at least. You don't hear as many stories about that. But that doesn't mean that it's not going on. And so to, you know, poo-poo a few incidents, because there are a few, is nonsense. You have to focus on all of them. You know, going on about it some more, I don't know whether you saw, but there was some person on Redbubble selling Holocaust memorabilia. That's right. Somebody was printing images of the Holocaust and sticking it on clothes and pillows. So you can actually buy a t-shirt that just had a picture of Auschwitz on the top. I've never been so stunned in my entire life. Not true. But I was absolutely, absolutely flabbergasted. That was a thing. Now, in many ways, it's not Redbubble's fault. Well, it's not Redbubble's fault, because on Redbubble, you can upload whatever the hell you want. And I'm sure they had processes involved to try and take it down. And as far as I know, when they were made aware of this, they took it down. But it's more the thought process. I mean, that's bigotry, right? That's anti-Semitism. I don't think anybody thought this is a really good way to remember the Holocaust, by printing offensive and, you know, harrowing images onto clothes and then trying to make a profit off them. And if anybody wants to call me wrong, we don't have to be friends. I think, you know, talking about racism today, but hey, we're here. I mean, thinking about racism in general, I mean, when you look at the UK especially, it seems to be places like UKIP, which are like nationalist political parties that have risen up, that are all like, you know, protect our borders and power to the British and stuff like that. And while they say that, a lot of it, when you look into their manifestos and teachings, are more about protect, you know, Anglo-Saxon white dudes. Which, again, tying into the whole EU thing, I don't want to get into politics too much. But hey, that's what this show was for. You know, why was Simon Miller was here to talk about stuff? We talked about Avengers last week. Now we're talking about the EU. The main reason I always thought it was crazy to want to leave the EU is because, if anything, as the world gets smaller because of social media and things we've talked about, let's try and tear down more walls. You know, let's try and, dare I say, even move away from I'm British. No, I'm not. I'm just a dude that happens to live in Britain. And I've got nothing against patriotism at all, as long as it doesn't go into crazy moral territory like it has been doing over here recently. But that's always been my thing. Because at the bottom line, no matter what we look like or where we live, we're all just human beings. We all came in the same way and we all go out the same way. Again, how did we start? I never thought I'd be able to do a callback. I've done it. How do we start this conversation saying that no matter who you are, most people have sat on the toilet when they were a kid and gone, ready, and someone comes up and wipes their ass. And you can be white, black, whatever, Asian, women, men, you know, gender neutral, whatever. That's happened to most people. So I think we need to get back to that. And that's more of the problem we've got over here in the UK at the moment, is there's a bunch of people that want to do the opposite. They want to put up borders and walls and say, oh, you weren't from this country, so you shouldn't be in here. And I understand that you can't just let everybody in. Of course you can't. Like, immigration has to be monitored to a certain point, because there's only so much land and there's only so much resources. But to go completely the other way and try and put the problems of the world on foreigners, even that word I hate, but yeah, on foreigners coming in, I think that's just... I just think that it just doesn't add up with my worldview. You know, I don't put myself on any kind of a pedestal. And if somebody wants to come live on here and, you know, has done all the right paperwork and followed all the right rules, then hell, man, let them in and let's become friends. Proper Wolf made a great start. But I'm glad you said this, Proper Wolfie. Started talking about hip-hop, now talking about racism, it seems appropriate. Well, yeah, well, that's certainly true. There is a connection there, right? Because there's a lot of people that are scared of hip-hop. I mean, that Tupac song Changes, I think, summed it up. And the Chris Rock joke sums it up too. My point being, before I get onto this, the whole point of the why with the Simon Miller show is I just wanted to talk. I know that makes me sound like an arrogant asshole, but I guess I am. I just wanted to talk about anything, even the weird and the wonderful. I just want to talk because I enjoy talking, and hopefully there's an audience for that. But yeah, the Chris Rock joke... When, you know, he talks about hip-hop and rapping and he says there's somebody in Congress, a white old guy in Congress, who are like, you know, we need a congressional hearing because a rapper, he said gun and he rhymed it with fun. Like, I think that's such a good joke because it's so true. Like, it is so true. Like, it's something they don't understand. And it's from a, you know, a demographic. Demographic's not even the right word, but you know what I mean. They don't want the status quo to change because the status quo protects their own power. And therefore, they want to do everything to stop that. And that, to me, is nuts. The world changes. The mode moves on. And again, if you're in a position of power, you should be doing anything to widen that gap and make sure more people can get in. And there's more spokespeople of different colors and different breeds and different genres so that the people growing up have somebody to look up to, because that's really important. Role models are important. They really, really are. And some people go, oh, well, it's not fair to make so-and-so a role model. Like football players, you shouldn't make them a role model. Okay. And the football player doesn't have to accept their responsibility as a role model. That's perfectly fine. But that doesn't mean that it's not true. And, you know, kids, my first hero was Ian Wright. He was my first hero. That's why I support Arsenal Football Club. And I know, like, boo, Arsenal, I know. But I love it. And the fact I get to work for them now, if you don't know, I would do some stuff for Arsenal Nation. Brilliant. Puts a smile on my face every time I think about it. Worst thing about the season ending is I have to wait for next season until I get to do more. But my first hero was Ian Wright. You know, and I looked up to him. He may not have wanted to be a role model. I don't know. I've never met him. But it was just something. I saw him and he was a personality, right? And he had a bit of a wild side to him as well, stamping on Peter Schmeichel's foot and all of that. But there was an endearing quality about him and I liked him. I warmed to him. And ever since then, I was like, okay, well, I'm going to follow Arsenal Football Club. And again, you can say, you know, him being aggressive probably did make me too aggressive on the football field as well. Here's a story for you. So we used to play football every night. There's a place down my at the end of my parents' place. It's a really big park and they had football goals up. And me and my mates would always meet up to play football. And when things didn't go my way, this is why my nickname was Rhino for a while, I'd put my head down, I'd charge at people. Like a crazy person. What is that? I was an angry child. Luckily, I learned to deal with it. I don't even deal with it. I got it all out. But maybe that was. Maybe it was encouraged by him. But still, you know, it's important that we have these role models of different backgrounds. And when people, like I say, at the top are trying to squash that, then we've got a massive problem, man. We've got a massive issue. And we've got to do whatever we can to kind of fight back about it. My favorite part about all of this is, as I've been saying this, up in the chat, I can't pronounce your name properly. Frog Molds is 11. Just wanted to know, would you bang J.K. Rowling? Because I would. I like the fact that you told me. Would you bang J.K. Rowling? Well, it all depends. There's many things you need to consider there. One, you know, does she want to be banged by me? It's got to be consensual, because that's a whole other thing. We don't do that. That ain't cool. Do you think J.K. Rowling is attractive? Yeah, I guess so. I've never really looked at her, to be honest. I will go out of my way to look at J.K. Rowling. I just love that. We're talking about all of that, and then, boom, would you bang J.K. Rowling? It's fantastic. This is why I knew this show would be good. We can do a whole chat about now. Who would you like to bang? But we won't, because that just opens up a whole bag of worms and takes us down a path we don't have to. Gary Richards says, Simon, do you dislike Spurs? Look, if I put my football cap on and someone says, do you want Spurs to win the Champions League? I say, no, I don't, because I'm an Arsenal fan and I enjoy the rivalry. I think the rivalry is fun. Much like when I'm watching wrestling, I want the good guy to beat the bad guy, or I want Rusev to beat everyone, or Samoa Joe. They're my guys. But I don't hate Tottenham, no. I don't hate them. I don't, like, have a deep-rooted... Because some people, like, they get really angry about it, and I'm not like that, because I just don't think that... Again, I just don't think that's a good way to live your life. I think when those kind of things indoctrinate your brain too much... I'm using asshole words now, but it's true, and you fall off a bit. And I'll get annoyed when Arsenal lose. Like, when they drew with Brighton at the weekend, I was so mad. I was so annoyed. I was like, you idiots, you had a chance. But as soon as, you know, a few minutes had passed, I walk away. I'm like, hey, it's just football. It doesn't matter. But it's fun. It's fun to get invested, because that's why you enjoy it. You enjoy it because of the emotion. But always leave it there. It's always a top line thing. Proper Wolfie wants another story. I've got another story for you. I probably told this on another podcast, but it just came to my head, so I'll tell it, and then we'll start wrapping things up. So I was around about 13 years old, and I'd driven into the town centre with my mum. We were going to go separate ways because she had stuff to do, and I had stuff to do. She didn't want to be in there for too long. I said, okay, we'll meet back at the car in 20 minutes. I was around about 17 minutes. She was still doing her thing. I came back, and I was hanging out by my mum's car because I was like, hey, why the hell not? I got to wait for her. There's nowhere to go. So I was leaning against it, probably reading a magazine, doing whatever I want to do. Didn't have a mobile phone. Of course not. And then a policeman came up to me and said that he thought I was trying to break into this car, and actually started walking me away to put me in his police wagon where he was going to take me to the station. I was obviously professing my innocence. He didn't believe me, and thankfully, because somebody was smiling down on me that day, at the exact right minute, my mum walked out and she saw all this and she came over and she asked what was going on, and he said, the officer said to her, well, ma'am, this man was trying to, well, this boy or whatever, was trying to break into your car, and she went, I highly doubt that. That's my son. The policeman went red-faced. It was all done. I got to go back to the car, but that's what happened. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? Imagine that if I had an arrest, a prison sentence on my record because I was resting on my mother's car. Crazy, right? I got loads of stories like that. If I remember, I'll always try and tell a story at the end. What I do want to talk about before we wrap up is Thanos. I was going to do it all this week, but I thought, nah, you can't do two podcasts on Endgame. Then it just becomes an Endgame podcast. I've become a little obsessed with Thanos. Shout out to James Wynn quickly, who donated in the super chat. Appreciate that, James Wynn. But yeah, I've become a little obsessed with Thanos. I think Thanos is just like the greatest. I don't understand. He's become like Darth Vader for me. I'm fascinated by Thanos because the first thing you see in Endgame, I know we talked about this last week, we're talking about it again. The first thing you see in Endgame, he's chilling out. He's washing his clothes. He's hanging his clothes up to dry. He ain't doing anything bad. He set out to do what he wanted to do, which was a worthy thing within reason, but also not because he killed off half the planet. And then he just wanted to chill out in his garden to the point where he'd already talked about this to Nebula and said, that's what he was going to do. I'm going to kill half the world and then I'm going to chill out. And I think maybe the reason I'm starting maybe to warm to him more towards Darth Vader is because Darth Vader had the stereotypical face turn at the end, right? He went good. Before he died, he had to go good. And that's nice because it was he reunited with Luke, and then in the remasters, he's a bubble shadow man, whatever the hell he was, hanging out with Anakin, and, well, he is Anakin. But you know what I mean? The awful, awful moment. But with Thanos, he's bad to the end. Like, even when original Thanos is dead, and you get alternative reality Thanos, alternative reality Thanos is even worse. Because he's like, aight, well, you may have killed me once, but now I realize I should just wipe out the whole planet and start again because you're all a bunch of dicks. So he tries to do it again. Now he fails, clearly. But still, that's crazy, man. That's a heel. That's a bad guy. I just think he's great. He's great. Shout out to Zach Davis in the super chat. Appreciate that. And shout out to Ibanai in the super chat too, who says Thanos is such a good villain because you can be sympathetic with his motives. Exactly. Exactly. That's the thing. You can be sympathetic with his motives. Because he's trying to balance it out. He thinks the world is too run down. That's what he thinks. We think we're out of resources. We need to cut half the world. And that's not the way you should do it. There are other ways. And then when you properly piss him off and you properly push his buttons, there's no good in Thanos. Thanos doesn't go, okay, you're right, let's make a team like Darth Vader did. You know, Darth Vader kills the Emperor, or did he? Episode 9, what's going to happen? Heard the Emperor's laugh. He decides to wipe out everyone. I like a bad guy that's unrelenting, clearly. It's my dark side, without a shadow of a doubt. But I've been thinking about Thanos a lot. I may even do a video called Why Thanos Greatest Villain Ever and just rant like this. I've just done it. But I love that twist. So many Hollywood movies want to end on a good note. It does end on a good note, kind of. But when it comes to the baddie, I secretly wanted him to win. What would he have done? Just wiped everybody out. And the next Avengers would just be Thanos chilling out in his garden, being like, oh, I've got to sew this scarf for my dead children. Well, he wouldn't do that. He did do that too. He does kill his own kid to get a stone. Bit of a strong price, but we'll end with this because it's nuts. Kevin Harty, Simon, gotta say, you had the choice of grabbing your hoodie and nearly getting... Oh, you're talking about the Haku thing? We're not talking about that here. We're not talking about that here. Although I do appreciate it. You're talking about the Tamatonga attack where I did go back to get my hoodie. It's true. I love that hoodie though. It's my Game of Thrones Street Fighter hoodie. I should have brought it in, but I didn't know I was going to talk about it. That hoodie, on the back of it, has the mountain from Game of Thrones. I'm such a nerd. Has the mountain of Game of Thrones, but he's Zangief from Street Fighter. That's a good hoodie, man. That's a 10 out of 10 hoodie. That's the best hoodie I own. I'm not going to let Haku of pro wrestling fame walk away with my hoodie. I would have taken a punch to the face. It was a present too, so I don't know where I can buy it from. I understand I can just Google it, but hey-ho. James Wynn in the super chat. Unrelated, are you going to finish God of War? Let's play. Also, your positivity is inspirational. Much love. Well, that's very kind, James. Thank you very much. I am going to finish it at some point. I'll level with you. I'll be honest with you. I'm just not very good at live streaming games. I don't think I'm very good at them, so I feel uncomfortable. I will, though, because I said I would, and I will. But you're right, I suck at them. But hopefully, I've been making up with these kind of live streams, too. I tried to be balancing it out. So, yeah, there's that. All right. I think we've ranted and raved enough. I like doing these, though. I already know I do, because they're just crazy. We talked about banging J.K. Rowling. Wasn't my intent, but we did. We talked about racism. We talked about Danny Baker. We talked about my Game of Thrones hoodie, also Street Fighter hoodie, best fighting game ever. Talked about Thanos. Someone said, yeah, Cam Williams, Joker is a great villain too. Joker is a great villain. I think I'm just on a Thanos kick at the moment, but Joker would be up there. They'd be my three, Joker, Darth Vader, and Thanos. Again, please do go subscribe to this on iTunes, and it's on everything at the moment apart from Google Podcasts. I'm hoping to sort that because the wrestling and gaming ones are on there. I don't really understand what's happened, but please do go subscribe. Please support through Patreon if you can. There's a link below, patreon.com/Simon316. More importantly, please subscribe to my YouTube channel. That's my big thing. We're doing well at the moment, and I realize it makes me happy, so you could do that too. Yeah, that's it. That's it. Someone just asked if I can recommend some exercise for the gym. I'm about to do a big old vlog series on all my workouts because people asked for it. They said they wanted to see me working out. I'm recording all the training things. Push, I should say, will probably be up this week, if not next. It's against my better nature, but this is how much I appreciate the support I get. So I'll always throw back out there. Like, share, subscribe on YouTube. Hit me up on iTunes, subscribe on there. And you can listen to it twice. Why not? Not a thing I'd ever do. Who listens to podcasts twice? You know what's coming. I've never listened to a podcast twice. Some people go, oh, I listened to that podcast again. I'm like, why? What are you doing? Well, find a new podcast. Even funny ones. Maybe I'll listen to a funny one again. Nah, I probably would. I'd listen to clips of it. Should get people on to interview as well, shouldn't I? That would be fun. What am I talking about? Right, dudes. Thank you so much for joining me live. I appreciate it. Like I say, I already know I enjoy doing these. It's just a lot of fun. I've got an offline. I'm going to click the offline image. Don't know what that is. Can't remember getting it. I'm going to click it. See you next week. Next week, every Thursday, live here on YouTube. Put it in your books.